You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Okay, now it's the first day of winter. It's June 1. And as it's winter, no one will know this, mind you, if you're listening to this, but Don's caught in heavy rain and traffic. So we've started this a fraction early. As I say, you wouldn't know this, but I'm just explaining why I'm speaking to young Max here. Now, Max is one of my offspring. And has had reasonable reviews from people, although we don't want him to get over the top of his skis. Just stick to things he knows about, which may be...
What? Just sport.
Well, maybe just sport, Max. And people, we do shout-outs usually to people. We've had a few shout-outs. I was just wondering, Max, since you've got on the You Cannot Be Serious, has anyone asked to be mentioned, or do you have any names that you'd like us to shout out to?
No, unfortunately, I've gone the opposite direction. People have told me to stop talking to them. My business is affected. My personal life is affected. My friends are turning it. You can't win being on this podcast. I'm in dire straits, but I enjoy doing it, so that's why I'm here.
You fool. Now, Max, and this I'm told you've just sprung this on me. Not that you're springing it on me, but. Well, you did spring it on me. You said this is your last appearance or on the microphone for a while because you're... am I allowed to say what you're doing? Or is this...
Yeah, go for it.
Well, you're going overseas.
I am going overseas.
You're going overseas. Away for 5 weeks, did I say?
5 weeks, yes.
Going away to South Korea, Bex.
Yes, to South Korea.
Now, most boys, men, young lads, millennials... would say, oh, we'll go to the United States, or we'll go to the Greek islands, or we'll go to Italy, or we'll go to Europe. But no, you're going to South Korea.
Well, I've been to Europe. America's quite fucked at the moment.
Thank you, Max.
Like
Max. Sorry. Max. Thank you, Max.
That's politics. I'll stick to sport.
If there's any invective or swearing to be done, I'll do it. But I'll keep you in line, Max, because we don't want... young people swearing in front of their parents. So Europe's, America's fucked. All right, Max, I'll accept that.
Thank you.
So why South Korea?
Because Japan isn't open and South Korea's right next door and offers quite a lot to
Japan's
tourists.
Not open?
No, it's still closed for tourism.
Japan is closed for tourism?
Yes, and they haven't reopened. To the rest
I know
of the
what I know what closed means. Okay. It means they're not reopened. I didn't know that. Does anyone know that? So if I wanted to go to Japan tomorrow or whenever, I couldn't go.
Unless it was for business purposes, I assume. But no, just for a casual holiday, you can't. You can't.
What did you call me?
You can't.
Oh, yeah, no, you cannot go.
Sorry.
Okay, so, well, there we are. So you're going to South Korea. Do you know, just incidentally, what the capital of South Korea is?
Seoul.
Seoul, yep, okay. And do you know what's just next to South Korea?
Japan.
No,
right. North Korea.
Yes, North Korea. And do you know what the capital of that is? Nor do
Kim?
I.
Kim?
No, Kim Jong-il. Maybe you could go to the border there and ask, could you go over and speak to Kim?
You know what? I'm actually going to the demilitarized zone.
Yes.
Whether or not I take that extra step will depend on whether or not I get pushed or not. We'll see how I've been
Donald
behaving.
Trump went to the demilitarized zone and met Kim Jong-il and never got any credit for it because he probably staved off rocket attacks from them launching and testing their missiles, but oh, no one in America gave him credit for that.
To be fair, so did Dennis Rodman. Do you want to compare the two?
I don't think Dennis stopped them launching missiles.
No, he probably gave him a few things to spice up the missiles.
Dennis was a supporter of Kim Jong-il's. I don't think the Trumpster was. But he was acting as he always has in the best interest of the United States, other than the clown that's in there at the minute and the clown of a woman that's his deputy. Now, Max, I notice, and I only bring this up because you're a sport. As we speak, the quarterfinals, I think, of the French Open are underway.
They are.
And Rafael Nadal, and we're filling in until Don gets here, incidentally.
Yeah.
Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic, who obviously has a entree to play in the French Open after he was banned from playing here in Australia. Have they dropped the COVID restrictions now for Novak?
Well, that's the thing. I haven't been following it at all, but I was under the assumption that he was banned the same as Australia, and they've just done a nice little backflip, the
government. It's like the AFL football. When the big games come on, they tend not to suspend the stars, or else the competition becomes a farce.
Yeah, it's got a lot of Trent Cotchin one-week suspension right before the grand final vibes to it.
So,
would you like to know the score, coincidentally?
Yeah, that's why I asked you.
Right.
This is a live update, mind you, by the time you get this afternoon, it'll be over and done, but as we speak, we're doing it live.
Thank you. Nadal leads 2-1, but Djokovic has broken in the fourth, so he leads 3-1, soon to be 4-1.
So, as I say, you'll obviously know the results when. But the fact of us speaking about it now is that this is a classic rivalry, the old McEnroe Borg rivalry, and I don't know who else were rivals. Any women were rivals that you can think of?
Margaret Court and anyone else?
No. Traditional rivals. Sorry. Steffi Graf and someone, or. Anyhow, Martina Navratilova.
I would think that tennis, this is going to sound very weird, it's almost like a three-way rivalry between Nadal, Federer and Djokovic, because Djokovic's gunning for both of them, that are the same.
Anyhow, this is a classic rivalry. I think they've met 28 or 30 times, making this up, Max. I just heard that and I think I remember that. In fact, they've met more than that, and I think it is so close to them being equal, whoever's won and lost equally, if that makes any sense. Did you understand what I said then? No.
I beg your pardon?
Right, so they are neck and neck as to who has the best record from beating each other. And so Djokovic has, I told you when he got banned from Melbourne that he'll become a world hero, Djokovic, because he'll just show how farcical the COVID ban has been on sport and industry and commerce and the general population. So much so here, I don't want to get into politics here, but so much so here that we were required in Victoria to wear masks at every opportunity, even in your household. This was when there was 10 cases a day. Now there's 10,000 a day. And the Premier said, I saw him say it, he said, the science doesn't support wearing masks, so you don't have to. We have been sold a pup all along the way, but that's politics. So Djokovic is playing in the French Open, and I heard on the news, this is how ridiculous news items and how blatantly pathetic and patronising they are. So it went to the sport. They do the news and they say, now, sport, on the station that you listen to. He said, Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal are playing in the quarterfinals of the French Open. And Djokovic was asked, and they have a grab of him speaking. He said, yes, they're very physical games. That was the grab from Djokovic. Well, why would you put that to air? It's like,
what news station was it?
Well, it was 3 I think the station I listen to takes the feed from 3AW Channel 9.
Was it radio?
Yes, Channel 9. Oh, okay, and then they say, it's like they go to the coaches. They went to name a coach from the AFL. They went to
Leon Cameron. Oh, Leon. No, he's not there anymore. Sorry, Ben Rutten.
Who?
Ben Rutten.
They went to Ben Rutten, and he's the coach of?
Essendon.
Right, they went to Ben Rutten of Essendon, and they said, you're playing Footscray next game, he said. And Ben Rutten says, yes, we're expecting a tough game. And that's the grab. What is the point of giving stupid grabs of people? Fancy asking Djokovic, what do you think about the game coming up? They're always physical games. Physical games, because they play for 5 hours and run around on an onto car court, or clay, as you call it. It's just mindless nonsense for the riffraff, it is.
Do you reckon Djokovic has become the international hero as you sort of said.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you reckon we'll see him again in February this
year? Yeah, they'll bend over backwards to get him here. Absolutely.
He had some comments for when he found out there was a change in government in Australia. And someone asked him the question about Anthony Albanese. He said, "I hope we can have a discussion about my visa being reinstated."
Yeah, well, that's right. So, and why not? Everyone else comes out here. There's entertainers and other sports people come out here, Max.
Yes, but they're just vaccinated.
He just had an opinion that was shared almost universally. Shared universally by a number, like a fair percentage of the world, that said that this was nonsense, all this stuff, and it's a political ploy. Anyhow, Max, so that was that, and has we got an update, just as a matter of interest?
Oh, the French Open.
Have you had anyone? No, you haven't had any shout-outs say, oh, they've listened to you. I had a...
No, in fact, people have stopped talking to me. Djokovic leads 4-2 in the fourth set.
Yeah, it's pointless, as I say. This is a bit pointless because...
You're right, it's level, so it's pointless.
No, it's pointless. It's pointless because by the time this podcast gets downloaded or uploaded, people. So this is not known as a filler, Max, because often I don't get a chance to speak to you one on one unless it's on the phone for some reason that I've rung you or you've rung me about.
Oh, like you've rung me. When was the last time you actually rung me?
When?
Yeah.
What for? What reason? Just to say hello.
Just to say hello.
Well, I don't ring you that often, in fact, never. Why would you want me to ring you to say hello, to see how you're going?
Yes.
I don't ring my other kids, other sons, to say hello. Why would you be any different?
Because I'm special. In whatever sense you want to say. We'll just move right past, shall we?
You're a special, all right? Don't worry about that. Tell me about the AFL. I want
to
ask you this, Max.
Right.
And I don't mind speaking about this because we keep trying to pretend there's two different lots of people playing football, Indigenous people and other people. And we fall over, we bend over backwards to say that we recognise the Indigenous players. Of course we do. When haven't we done that? How come... There's two rounds of Indigenous football. I thought Doug Nicholls' round was football, and then apparently there's another round coming up.
Yeah, after watching football for quite a number of years extensively, it makes perfect English that Sir Doug Nicholls' round would be one singular round. But no, they're going for two rounds. I don't know if the second round falls within NAIDOC week, and that's why they do it. But the teams where the Aboriginal design jerseys, and they do all the traditions like they did the previous round, except for the Western Bulldogs, which didn't wear the jersey. I don't know why that was such a big thing.
And good on them.
Yeah,
because
I don't know why that's such a big thing.
Well, I'll tell you why. So this is it, Max. So did they wear the tradition? Did they wear the Indigenous Guernsey for the second round?
No, they wore it for the first.
Yeah. I'm glad they didn't run. So... People go to the football to watch their colours play football. They want like the black with the red stripe for Essendon and the navy blue with the CFC on the front of it for Carlton. We'll hijack the jumpers for the Indigenous round. That's fair enough. But seriously, how does it keep going on and on? And this comes from the AFL, who are the most patronising they're just the most patronising people. It's probably insulting to the Indigenous people. We bend over backwards to show that there's two different sections of people who play football. There's two different sections in society. How about we recognise the Indigenous players that play? But the amount of nonsense they go on with, I mean, people, but no, they are indirectly dividing the community about trying to unite people who play football. There's plenty of people who play football. There's Muslims, there's Jews, there's Christians, there's bloody Buddhists, there's Indigenous. I don't know why they keep going on and on about it. It is just the social elite trying to be woke and virtuous and feeling good about themselves. They're doing nothing more than just being patronising.
And I agree with that to an extent. And there was a point that you raised yonks ago about the Aboriginal flag and why the AFL doesn't put that on all the jerseys. Just a small, like the AFL emblem puts the Aboriginal flag somewhere on the jersey to represent the inclusiveness of the game spirit of the game.
And then we don't have to go on with all this.
And the flag is free now.
Free
the flag
nonsense.
Has come. So why wouldn't they do that? I don't understand. That seems like such a small thing that goes a long way rather than doing a big thing that, let's face it, some people out there who follow football don't want to be inclusive with all this thing. And that's
their
opinion.
Well, they want to be inclusive. So they don't want to have to just go through the patronising nonsense the AFL carry on from coming from the top. And I said this 2 years ago. When I said the players knelt down or held hands around the circle in recognition of Black Lives Matter, I said the players had no idea what they were doing. They were just like sheep. They have no idea what Black Lives Matter is. It's a domestic terror organisation. It has been proven to be a hoax, Black Lives Matter. And yet they all stood around holding hands. And I said that. And then people said, oh, you're a racist. And fair enough. Saying it just means nothing. And then I said, well, why don't we put a little square emblem on all the jumpers that says, say no to racism, or as you said, Max, just put a Aboriginal flag, which I'm not sure why we fly two flags for our nation. We just should fly one, no matter what pattern or what colours you'd like to do it. Let's just have one flag that represents our nation. So I said, why don't we just put a little square on the jumper, say no to racism, or a little Aboriginal flag up in the square on all the jumpers. That would keep it on people's minds every day, every time there's a game played. But no, we go overboard with all these ceremonies and what Melbourne called themselves NAM, did they? What was that?
I don't know. I haven't read the articles that have explained why they call NAM. Anyhow. I think they did it last year as well, but I don't know what NAM represents.
Anyhow,
maybe that's Aboriginal for Melbourne? Maybe.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, it'd be handy if someone told us. Now, Max, I notice the Essendon Football Club, which you're great supporter of.
That's on my list.
They've decided, is it? Well, go ahead. They've decided to have a review.
An internal review, the second one since 2019, and I think the 10th in 20 years. That's a great ratio.
And I said last week or the week before to Dr. John Tickell, I said...
Is he coming in again?
No. We'll speak to Don when he gets here. Don's in the traffic, incidentally. You wouldn't know this because how would you know this? But I'm just telling you. That's why he's not here at the minute. We haven't given him the arse, although it won't be long. And he'll say, well, I don't care. Just tell me when you don't want me. So Max. Shut up, Max, please. So I said to Tickell, Dr. John Tickell, I said, they've never recovered from the disgraceful way that drug saga was handled. They've never recovered. And they're doing a review now. Now, I can tell you, I could save all the reviews. I could say they say they're going to have an interaction with the coaches and they're going to have the recruiting, overhaul of the recruiting, and they're going to do other than the old stuff. I can tell them, I could save them a lot of meetings. Get some players who can play fucking football. Don't get dwarfs. Don't get people who are under... Just get some big, strong people to play football. And then accept nothing more than a red-hot go at playing. And take all the consequences aside. Just run through anyone that gets in your way and try and get the football through the goals.
And I agree with that to an extent, like always. I'm not going to sit on the fence, though. Firstly... Ben Rutten, who is the head coach of Essendon, as you'll remember earlier, you would say in a lot of internal reviews, the coach would be under the most scrutiny and most pressure and most reviewed. His job is guaranteed to... He'll still have his job at the end of this review because he's going to be a part of the internal review committee. That's one thing.
That's like the police investigating the police.
I know. So he's going to be safe from his job. That's one thing that Essendon fans and football fans should know right now. He's going to be at Essendon at the end of this season and after this review. The second thing is, and I hate, this is what I hate about the modern day AFL. Players are getting...
That's all you've ever known is the modern day AFL, Max.
Yeah, not this extent.
Just being a young man.
Not to this margin. Players' contracts. It is unreasonable and ridiculous that a player should be offered any more than 5 years on a contract. It should be 4 years with some conditions that go on to a five, and then you should reevaluate. Players nowadays
performance based,
exactly. That's all Australian, best and fairest, Brownlow, finals contentions.
If you're a goal kicker and you're recruited as a goal kicker and you can't kick goals,
accuracy, that's goals, it. Behinds, your ratio, everything like that should be taken into consideration. Except players nowadays are getting 7-8 years, and they're back ending, front ending, middle ending contracts for where they get their large sums of money. So more clubs can keep more stars for longer periods of time.
So they're bearing a cross to it's a cross to bear, all the nonsense that goes on.
What incentive is there as a player once you get an 8-year contract worth, say, $1.2 million a season? What incentive is there to go out the next year and try just as hard as the year before to get your contract, get your big contract? There's none. Zach Merritt, Jake Stringer, Darcy Parrish all got three massive contracts from Essendon last year. Stringer's done his groin. He hasn't. He's played two games and hasn't looked anywhere near as fit as he did last year, which he was in All-Australian contention. Zach Merritt has had injuries but hasn't looked anywhere near as impacting as last year. Darcy Parrish gets 40-plus touches a week, and they are the most soft touches, 1-2 handballs, nothing. He averages about 30 handballs in a game, and people look at that. Stats and commentators look at the game and say, oh, he had 44, he must be one of the best players. It's a joke. He laid one tackle on the weekend and had 44 touches. That is a joke for your A-grade midfielder. And I agree with you that we should get players that can play the game, but these boys have proven they can play the game.
But this is the way the game has trended, Max, since modern game. The modern game has been nothing more than dappy crap and umpired by people who think they're as big a part of the game and have social media and photographs of themselves and do podcasts and say, oh, look at us, we're controlling 36 men on the ground in front of 80,000 people. Aren't we heroes? The whole thing has got out of kilter, Max.
Yeah, but it's not like Max. Other players don't do it. They just have a greater impact on the game, and they lay more tackles and they put on more pressure and they put on more spectacle for the fans. Essendon does nothing. And I believe it has something to do with the coaching panel, because you can put 30 great players out there, or it doesn't mean anything if they don't have structure. So structure is what Essendon's missing. They have a list that is not a freaking grand final contender like Mick Malthouse and other people want to say they are, but they have a list strong enough to at least be competitive against top six teams from last year, which is an excuse that they keep on throwing up, and teams this year to make the finals, and they haven't done that.
So people wouldn't know this. Once again, just give us the score with Nadal.
The Nadal score. Right.
And people wouldn't know this. So Don rings me yesterday. Don rings me and he says,
"What's that? Oh, Djokovic is going to take the fourth set."
That is
like
extraordinary. He is a star, that man, and so is Nadal. So Don rings me yesterday and he says,
"It's the quarterfinal."
Yeah, I said it was the quarterfinal.
Did you? Sorry, yeah. I thought you said final.
No, I said quarterfinal.
My apologies. Sorry for interrupting.
So Don rings me yesterday, because he's not here still. He says, let's start at 8 o'clock. Okay. And as I say, you won't know what time we're starting if you get this downloaded in the afternoon. So I said, righto, Don, why don't we do that? As we sit here now, it's 8:45. Don's just 3/4 hour late. I'm not sure when he thought we'd like to start this, so I've got young Max here who has had some reasonable reviews about for some reason they think you speak properly. I don't know what that means. That would be coming from me,
I'd reckon. You know what I don't do?
That's my side of the trio.
Yeah. Do you know what I don't do? I don't eat on the microphone.
No, you don't, Max. No, because I would tell you not to eat. I tell Don not to eat, but he takes no notice. Because
what did you do last week? What did you do last week? You proceeded to grill him about eating whilst you were smashing down a bacon and egg.
That's right, and no one knew I was eating.
Yes, they did. They were all over
not
Instagram.
No one
and
knew
Twitter.
I was eating.
Everyone knew you were eating.
Shut up, Max. Now, So Don said, I'll be in at 8 because I've got a pretty busy day, really, and I've got to get back. And we've got a very interesting interview. I think we've got an interesting interview. We've got to interview the man who got sacked from the Liberal Party in Melbourne, Australia, Bernie Finn.
Oh.
He got sacked because he said he was I think the excuse was that he was a proponent of right to life. He was against abortion, Max.
Oh, right.
I'm not sure how that would get you sacked, but anyhow. So We'll ask him about that and a whole lot of other things. He has some very diverse views about life going on in this planet.
You'll be asking him. I don't know.
I said stick to your lane. So Don is now 50 minutes late. I've rung him once and he said, yeah, I'm on the way. If you got anything else in sport to talk about,
have plenty.
Go ahead.
Tasmania. Tasmania. Firstly, does it deserve an AFL team? Does it deserve to be the 19th AFL team?
You're asking me?
I'm asking you. As a man of football, would you like to see a Tasmanian team in the AFL?
Well, theoretically I would, but there's a lot of people against it because of the infrastructure and the...
No, there's not a lot of people against it. That's the thing. And they have the funds now to go and build the infrastructure.
So you're saying add another team to the competition?
I would love to see a Tasmanian team instead of the Gold Coast Suns. I don't know why that team was put in there in the first place. Greater Western Sydney, you can make a case for with Sydney. Brisbane were already going through a rebuild stage after their three premierships, and then the AFL decided to put in another Brisbane team, which wouldn't is heavily rugby league orientated.
Wouldn't it be to try and nobble the NRL's hold on the northern states?
Well, that's their stupid business plan, but that team has been nothing but shambles since it's come in, and it's costed the AFL millions and millions of dollars.
So I see, rip the Suns away from the Gold Coast and take them down to...
No, you can't. It's two things. One, that's going to be way too expensive to do. You may as well start and own another AFL team. And two, the Tasmanians don't want another relocated team, which is what North Melbourne keeps being touted to do. They want their own individual team. And Alistair Clarkson... You know Alistair Clarkson?
I do. I know him.
He is the head of Tasmanian football in getting this new team. He has proposed, the government there has proposed $150 million to go into the... The Tasmanian government.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to be the head coach. And he's going to set it up, and he's been spending a lot of time in America with the NFL, and this could be the first privatised AFL team.
It's very interesting, Max. And as I look over your shoulder out the back there to the car park, over this way, Don, 50 minutes late, has just pulled in. So I'm just watching him. He's going to take 5 minutes to get out of the car. He's got. I think he's on a walking frame. That's no one coming in for us. There's another person coming in. So you're not surely saying they create another AFL. So how many AFL sides are there?
That'd be 19.
That would make 19.
I reckon there would be a 20th in a couple of years, and that would be it.
So 20. So you wonder why the game's dropped off. I don't think that many people are going to it these days, are they?
I would go to a Tasmanian game, absolutely.
The talent pool will be spread thin across the nation. If you've got 20 sides that all have 40 players in them.
Not at all. I reckon you would uncover more gems. Look at, there's a boy called Jai Newcomb that plays for Hawthorn that was picked up in the mid-season draft last year. He has been incredible for them. There are so many gems out there in the rough that don't get the opportunity. And I'm talking mature age men, like 24, 26.
There's a mature age man walking in now, Max.
That's a fossil. But there's plenty of big-bodied men out there that can get an opportunity, unlike private schoolboys that get pulled in at 17 and don't do anything for 5 years.
Now, may I just say, Don has arrived. Having said
he started the podcast.
Just a minute, Don, please. We've started the podcast because you said you'd be here at 8. It's now 10 to 9. So we started to do sport. We've only spoken about sport, Don. We didn't do anything else. Could you just tell us incidentally why you said you'd be here at 8 and it's now 10 to 9?
Okay, sir. How many lines, or do I sit in the car? What do I do? Detention?
I tell you what, if it had a couple of lines, you would have driven your car here a lot quicker.
And I realise there's a little bit of nepotism, is that the word? And my use-by date is obviously coming to an end.
No, we discussed that.
What, use by date?
No, we just said we can sit here for, I'm not sure for how long, but maybe we'll start with Max, who'll do a bit of sport, which was all we've been doing, and wait for you. Well, I didn't announce that.
I think the benefits of this, of you and Max talking together is a case of bonding. I think this is good for both of you.
Yeah, well, you've forced us into being...
I know. So that's the benefit. That's the side benefit. So that's great. Father and son talking.
Good morning, Don.
How are you, Max?
I like your beanie. Is it a beanie? What is it?
No, it's a beret. Called a beret.
Beret.
Is that what we say at Geelong Grammar or?
No, I said it the Australian way. You went beret. I should say it's a beret.
Okay. Well, they're off and running again. So just into nebulous nonsense. So we were actually speaking.
Well, that's what this is based well, on. No, nebulous nonsense.
No, we'd been speaking quite sensibly about things until you don't rip that thing. So, Don. Now, we haven't done any shout-outs, so I thought we'll leave them. Please don't manhandle that, mate. Seriously.
I'm not going to lie, that looks like it's about to fall off. It looks very
loose
on the table.
The only microphone that falls off the table out of the five we've got here are Don's. He just ripped. So, Don, we've had a couple of shout-outs. We've done a bit of sport. Max is keeping us updated on Nadal and Djokovic, who are playing in the quarterfinals of the French Open, as I said many times before. By the time this goes to air, people will know the result, but I want to know what.
Djokovic was leading 40 to 15 in the
40-15 is the how you say that, Max. 40-15 is the score in a game, not 42-50.
Shit. Dickhead.
If you're doing sport, I'm get the terminology right.
Nadal has come back and broken him, and it's now 4-5 Djokovic's way with Nadal's serve.
It's 5-4 Djokovic's way.
No, you're supposed to say the server's score first.
Well, I didn't know he was serving first.
Well, you would have if you hadn't just interrupted me, Don.
It's 5-4 to Djokovic. Nadal is serving.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's 40-15. It's 40-15.
No, it's love all now. Yeah, he love came all. Back it's when Djokovic all. Was serving.
Right, thanks. So Don.
Give him enough rope, they'll hang themselves.
Right, now we had some couple of shout-outs that we're giving. Tim. Tim from Geelong.
Channel 7?
Tim from Geelong. No, not Timmy Watson. Oh. Tim from Geelong. I know who Tim is, but he listens and he likes Max's input.
Who, and Timmy Watson from Channel 7?
No, you're a star, thank you.
No, Tim from Geelong. And
not Tim
it's
Watson?
A bit like Ben, Dr. Ben from Sydney. His wife, Jody, doesn't listen to us or doesn't, I think, like, well, me. I'm not sure if Tim's... partner Susie Tim likes us. Tim likes Max being on, and so we're giving a shout out to Tim. I could tell you who Tim is, but I won't, because as Max said, people don't want him to give them a shout out because
Burke from Geelong.
No, not Tim Burke.
He doesn't know all this. He hasn't been here.
Now I met. Do you remember one day I said Brad, who is runs Mercedes Benz in Vietnam? I saw him in the lift. I gave him a shout out. He was over from
Vietnam.
He was over from Vietnam. He runs Mercedes Benz in Vietnam. I saw his sister in the elevator of where I live, and she said, "I'm Brad's sister." And I said, "Does he still listen to us in Vietnam? Is he still running Mercedes-Benz?" He said, "Oh, my word, he is," she said. So I didn't get her name, but I'm giving another shout-out.
Why didn't you get a name? You're very slow. You usually have got all that going for you.
What get people's names in the elevator?
No, the female.
Yeah, what? So people in the elevator, I get their names.
Oh, if it was female, you'd be very familiar by the time the lift stopped.
No, he's an equal opportunity go-getter. Isn't the expression man, woman or beast?
So I've... don't laugh at your own stuff, Max.
No, I'm laughing because of your reaction.
So Brad's sister. I didn't get a name, unfortunately. But
why? You're very slow.
I just told you I didn't because the elevator stopped and
you've
the doors
interest,
opened.
Have you?
A little bit. So...
what? Why?
Shut
why?
Up, Don.
So, why have you lost
shut
interest?
Up.
Why have you lost interest? This is better. Can we do a little bit of...
Don.
Would you like to lie on the couch?
Don. I've just got a... I'm sorry to jump around. A
text message?
From Ivan.
Phone?
Well, I'm telling you, I've just got a text from Ivan. You know Ivan, who comes in here sometimes, that you said looks like Ivan Milat? If you speak with the doc in Sydney, this is Ivan. He's just texted us in. Ask him about the nude theatre at the Lido in Hawthorne.
Well, I'm going to bring that up.
Oh,
Ivan.
Are you? All right. Well, thanks, Ivan. Don's going to
have
bring
you got
it
a, up. You're being an A-lister. Have you got an invitation to that?
Now, I'm just...
While it's now current.
I'm just putting on notice. The doc is ringing in from Sydney at 9:30. So I'm still doing the shout-outs. So I was down at Eastlink in the BP service station there, and a bloke called Jason came up and said, "Hello, Sam." I said, "Hello." I couldn't say hello, Jason, because I didn't know his name at that stage. I said, "Hello."
You weren't rude to him when they
started. No, he said, "I like the podcast." I said, "Give us your name and I'll give you a shout-out." So his name's Jason. So I'm just doing that.
I had a shout-out to give too, but when you reach 75... 76 or mid-70s, the memory's not as good as it used to be.
Yes, I don't know
what that means. So to that person, I apologise.
So you can't remember who you're meant to be giving a... seriously, mate.
Give a shout-out to them.
You're giving a shout-out to someone whose name you can't remember, won't know if you're shouting out to them or not.
I didn't write it down at the time.
Take your hand away from your mouth.
Describe them, Don.
It's very hard to describe them when they're on the other end of the phone and you don't know them.
Oh,
Max.
Well, someone just called you up randomly.
No,
with
Max,
with an unknown
number.
You
do have conversations with people on the other end of the phone.
Well, what was
the
name?
You've never met before or have never seen before. I forget.
Don't you have their number saved in your phone?
Oh, boys. Boys.
Maxie.
So someone told me they were listening to a station here in Melbourne, Australia, called 3AW. And they were talking about some sort of function or school reunion. And this bloke rang in. This is what they said. And they said, "Hello?" "Hello?" And the person on the end who was running the program, I think it was a bloke called Darren James. Who's been
bloke?
A bloke.
You know Darren James. He did a terrific show with Bruce Mansfield.
Don,
do you remember?
Don, I said, I think a bloke called Darren James was the compere or was producing or was the announcer. And he said, "We've got a man on the line. We've got a caller in. And I think it's, hello, sir." And he said, "Hello."
Well, that was me.
It was you.
I rang. They were doing a talk back.
So you...
I was rung by a former footballer, a teammate of mine, Vin Crowe.
So
and
you
Darren
rang in.
Darren James and I, we both went to the same school, which is Blackburn High School.
I see. So you rang him in.
Well, they were asking people who attended Blackburn High School.
And you thought, I'll try and make myself...
brought back a lot of memories.
I'll make myself important because I'm star. What did you say? And did he say, "I think I recognise that voice"? You said, "Yes, it's Don Scott."
Oh, you listened in.
No, is this what someone told me?
No,
so someone told me that they said, Darren said, "I think I recognise this voice."
Who?
Darren James said, "I think I recognise his voice."
Oh, he's got a better radio voice.
He hadn't inhaled some helium. It sounded as though I made him sound like he had helium. "Hello," and he said, "Don, I think I recognise that voice." And you said, "Yes, that's me. I'm Don Scott. I went to Blackburn High or whatever at school was." What did you chat about, Don? Would have been riveting to the people.
Well, listening. The lady that was being interviewed, she also went to Blackburn High School, so they must have had a whole segment on
Blackburn.
And what
did you say?
Well, we talked. I don't know what I said because that's in the past.
It's in the past.
Yes.
You don't know what you said
and
about Blackburn.
I don't remember things that have happened in the past because it's irrelevant.
So let's just...
You said you called up because you had fond memories of the school.
Yep. Yes, and the girl... yes, it was very interesting.
Recalled, recanted, recollected.
Back things that, you know...
That's recollected.
She was the editor of the school magazine, which I was involved in.
And you can't remember what you spoke to Darren about?
No, not really.
So just pretend I'm Darren. Hello, we've got a caller on the line. You went to Blackburn High, did you, whoever you are? Go ahead, Don. I'm speaking to you, but we're reenacting it.
Yes.
Hello, I've got a caller on the line. You went to Blackburn High, did you? Go ahead.
Yes, I did.
I think I recognise that voice. Are you Don Scott?
Yes.
Well, Don, what do you recall about Blackburn High?
Well, I was the editor of a magazine along with Dick Caller here, and I had tremendous memories there. I remember we used to play sport, and then we'd recess, we'd drink those little bottles of milk that the... And, oh, well, that's really fascinating, Don. Anything else? Yes, I got plenty of other things.
So you couldn't think of anything to say to Darren, Don? You couldn't remember anything? Right, Don's... okay, Don's... So there we are. So there are the shout-outs. Now, we've had... someone said Dr. Don Tickell, they thought, was very entertaining and very interesting, and we should get him on regularly. I don't know if we could handle the doc coming on too regularly. We've got 100 doctors. We've got Dr. Barney McCusker from... we're not allowed to mention Barney McCusker's name. Cause,
why not?
Well, because the medical profession think that if you give free advertising to doctors, that's not in the Hippocratic Oath. Do you know what a Hippocratic Oath is? Not a hypocritic, a Hippocratic. Don, you don't know what a Hippocratic Oath is. Do you know that, Max?
Yes, so I'm waiting until sport comes up.
Hippocratic Oath means that it's...
You're bound by duty and law.
That's right.
It's like if a doctor...
Yes, that's right. Don didn't know.
...intervenes in anything, no matter what the consequences. Oh, not consequence, but...
Don didn't know that.
Are we into sport?
I don't think Don knows where he is.
Well, we're into a whole lot of things. We've been just trying to cover a whole...
Well, I've got a sporting topic I'd like to discuss with you.
You better hurry, because we're going to close off shortly.
Okay, well, I was watching the races from Hong Kong.
I had to be racist.
The horse races on channel, 78... They flash across to either
channel
Shark
78.
Yeah. 78, it's the racing channel.
Seven News Racing Channel.
And the races were either from Sha Tin or Happy Valley. Now, could you two people tell me why those racehorses, their tail is only half the length that it should be? The majority of them have short tails. Is there an explanation for these horses having short tails?
So the stallions can actually mount them without any brushwork getting in the way?
Now, I should imagine that a lot of them are geldings.
That's had their balls cut out?
Yes.
Oh, right.
So they wouldn't be... Well, unless they're that way inclined.
You're a gelding?
The stallion was that way inclined...
They get on the nose, don't they?
What?
If the male... If the girl horse is running and is on heat... Don't the male horses, if they haven't had their balls cut out, don't they get a sniff in the pheromones come through the nostrils and they chase them, they run till the end of the earth to try and see if they can mount them even though they're running?
So you know a lot about that.
No.
What, the pheromones sniffing out?
Yeah, the sniff, don't they, isn't that why they geld horses?
Is that why you didn't find that lady's name out in the list?
What, Don?
You heard me. The man.
No, I heard you.
The lady from Hong Kong, or the brothers over in Vietnam with the Mercedes.
Well, because
she wasn't emitting those what do you call them?
Pheromones. She wasn't.
Yes. Consequently, you didn't get a name by the end of the lift ride.
Does it just say that again, Don?
You heard me.
No,
he's trying to say you didn't get a name at the end of the ride.
No, I just wondered if pheromones weren't working on her behalf.
Well, seeing as I've been gelded, Don, probably didn't arouse any interest in it. Probably. No, I'm not sure what you're talking
anyway,
about.
Anyway, the horse tails, gentlemen, this is a sporting topic. You haven't come and given me any idea why half the horses... have short tails.
Well, why do they?
I don't know, mate. I'm asking that question. There was an observation.
Maybe say they want to make a toupee out of some of the horse hair.
Make them more aerodynamic?
I don't know.
No?
Max,
you don't know?
I'm really struggling. As a horse person, I'm really struggling.
Okay.
Well, why didn't you make some inquiries?
I'm doing it right now. You're the first source of...
Why don't you put in the machine?
What
Google
machine?
Say what machine? Why do horses have their tails cut off? We've got our sporting guru just checking that now. This is young Max, and he's not going to be here next week because he's going away. He's going away for 5 weeks, Don. He's going to South Korea. Yes.
Really?
Yes, really. Do you think I made that up?
What's in South Korea, Max? Or have we already talked about this?
Seoul.
Have we already talked about this? I don't want to repeat anything.
It's probably unimportant. To be frankly honest, I don't know what's in South Korea. That's why I'm going to explore it.
Now, did you notice, do you know Mike Sheehan?
I have the answer to what? The horse, the tail.
Why
question.
Couldn't you have done this, Don?
I'm computer illiterate.
To prevent their tails from interfering with the rigging and equipment.
What?
So, with the harnesses and everything, I don't know why that is
Max,
important.
These are racehorses, mate. There was no harness on them.
I said, do they have the seat, don't they?
What?
The seat for the jockey.
No, this is a racehorse.
Seat for the jockey? You mean the saddle?
This is a thoroughbred. We're not talking about trotters.
Oh, sorry, my apologies. I don't know too much about race.
Well, that might be just for ease in strapping them up and harnessing them and putting the saddle on.
I understand the harness point of view, you know.
Now, do you know a man called Tony Sheehan?
Yes.
Thank you, Don. Tony Sheehan is a, I tell you what, he's a gossip columnist, and I've had my my differences with him, but he's a good lad, and I've... what's the score, Max?
It's all tied up going into a tie break.
Holy shit. This is Nadal and Djokovic. Tony's a good man, and he rings me for stories and gossip, and I give them, you know, he asks me questions about my life, and not that anyone would be interested.
You're still an A-lister.
Yeah, all right. So the biggest story that he could have broken... Have a listen to this, an exclusive 17 minutes of madness. This is a story he could have broken. Exclusive 17 minutes of madness inside a wild night out as he hijacks an Uber driver's car, sparks a dramatic police chase, and you'll never believe how many schooners he claims to have sunk. That is drunk. And you think,
hang on, who is Tony? He could have had this.
He could have broken
this story.
Yes, he. And Tony,
well, why didn't he?
Tony Sheehan could have broken this story about a wild night, how many schooners he drank, and he hijacked an Uber man's car, and a dramatic police chase. He could have broken that story. Wouldn't that have been a great story to break? No. Have a guess.
It would have been. So why didn't he?
Tony Sheehan, the gossip columnist, could have broken that story. Oh. And who do you reckon that I've just read out that's about?
Mick Sheehan.
That's about Tony Sheehan.
What?
He could have broken the story about himself.
Oh, he was drink driving and stolen a vehicle.
Yes, and wouldn't that be a great thing to put on his gossip columnist about himself? But it didn't appear.
News and report it.
And do you know when it happened, Don? It happened in December last year, and it's only just made the news now. Isn't that
really
extraordinary? Well, I'm reading it out of the Daily Mail. It says exclusive.
Okay. Oh.
17 minutes of madness inside the son of footy royalties.
What's
wild?
Hang on, Daily Mail.
What, Don?
Daily Mail.
Yes, Don.
Okay. That's an online paper.
The Daily Mail is an international paper. What are you talking about? It's an online paper. It's a paper.
You can't buy it at a newsagent.
Of course you can.
That's what I was talking about.
Can you?
Of course you can. The Daily Mail.
I'm asking.
I don't think you can. No, I think they're predominantly online. You freaking know as well, you smug.
No, I didn't know that. Can't you go in and pay...
No, that's why I'm questioning. Where's your source? Because I do read the Daily.
Well, we might ask the doc from Sydney when he comes on.
What?
We'll ask him, is the Daily Mail, can you go and buy it at a newsstand? Anyhow, I thought Tony Sheehan could have broken a huge story about himself. But I don't suppose you would do that, would you? If it's about yourself, you know. The Uber driver, let's see what the poor old Uber driver, what is his name? Yeah, they did have the Uber driver's name here somewhere, but
I wonder how many stars he gave himself.
that's extraordinary, really, isn't it?
What are you talking about? How many stars?
Oh, when you get an Uber at the end of the ride, you can give the driver a certain amount of. It's like a rating.
Really?
Yeah, really. I wonder how many Tony gave him.
So hang on. So, okay.
No, yes, because the Uber drivers get points from the Uber people who run the company. They like to know if their drivers are doing the right thing.
Hang on, Max, are you into? Here's a young fella. Max, are you into? What is it? Uber driver?
Uber. You were going to say
Uber.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are they a dominant force now? What about taxis?
They're definitely more dominant than taxis.
Really?
Yeah.
I would always get a taxi rather.
In my day, it was very, very expensive and a good investment if you could buy a taxi license.
Not anymore.
What's happened to the taxi license? They gone down? Did you value it, or the people have? Hang on. Have they been compensated because they're up to $300,000, $150,000?
It was just an industry that got competitive.
This government, in one fell swoop. Almost put the taxi owners out of business because they allowed Uber to come in, and while a taxi license was worth at some stages $400,000 to $500,000, because it was considered,
and that money went to the government.
Yes.
Hang on, so these people they don't pay a fee. The Uber people do not pay a licensing fee.
As I understand it.
They pay the regular licensing fees that everyone else does, as in like a driver's license and a registration and everything like that.
Yes, but there was a fee to be a taxi driver, to get your plates. So, Max, what do you do? This is all done on...
We have an app on your phone.
I see.
You request a ride from an Uber driver that's in a car, preferably, and they take you to where you want to go. It's exactly like a taxi, except privatised.
Actually, you made me stop and think. I have not seen a taxi. You've not seen a taxi. No,
there's even more taxi companies out there though. So you just one three know. They're cabs. They're not yellow and green anymore. They could be silver and grey and black and white.
I would always ring 13 cabs if I was going anywhere.
Yeah, it's because they're in your back pocket. Nadal's about to win, just coincidentally.
All right, keep us updated then.
That's the last update.
So, Max, when you finish your Uber driving, you then rate the driver and send that through.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, getting back to Tony Sheehan. So, Tone has could have broken that story about a wild night out about himself, but so I'm not sure where that leaves Tone. I'm not sure that he would have given the Uber driver. I couldn't find the Uber driver's name. It was like Prangnakar Mahajakani. He was Prangnakar Mahajakani. I think he was I'm not sure where he was from.
Are you making that name up?
Yeah, sort of. But that was vaguely his name. He was either Indian or Pakistani.
See, this hurts your credibility. What about your mechanic's name? Mechanic? Cadillac? What's his name? Mr. Kruger?
Oh, no, I've done all that.
The man
I bought a Cadillac from, his name was Fred Kruger, and he lives in Elm Street.
Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, he lives in Elm Street. You couldn't believe it. I say that to people and they say, oh, I don't believe that. And I showed him his license. Now, Don and Max, we're going to ring off now because we've been doing for 52 minutes, although you've been only doing it for 7, Don, because you're 50 minutes late. We've got Dr. Ben Fordham's ringing in from Sydney at 9:30, and we're going to chat to him about... not sure what we're going to chat to him about, but he'll usually have some topics. So anything else going, Max? What's happened with the tennis?
I've jinxed Nadal. He's lost 3 points in a row. But just quickly, has anyone ever watched The World's Strongest Man?
Hang on. Yeah, is this the one where they do a number of contests in Europe? Lift a barrel or throw something.
Pull trucks.
I've watched it, yes.
You have?
Yes.
It's ridiculous. Talk about a sport that's gone... That's really advanced with the times. The person who won it, where is it here? Tom Stoltman, who won it back-to-back, he's 180 kilos and 203 centimetres.
Wow, he's a giant.
Giant.
And he's pure
muscle as well.
Yeah, hang on, Maxi. Have you ever wondered, do they do drug testing?
I think Arnold Schwarzenegger made a good point about it. When you're in that competition, you want to be the best of the best and you want to be your peak physical condition. So I would say that they take supplements to some extent, whether that's steroids, I don't know. But
So they want to be the best, so they take things that make them the best.
Yeah.
Bit like Lance Armstrong, who won 7 Tour de France's after he got testicular cancer and did what everyone else did, took drugs and became a star. I reckon he's a hero, Lance Armstrong.
Right. I would say that they don't take steroids, but I know that bodybuilders for whatever the flexing competition, you know, when they do the poses and everything, I know they take steroids.
Max, just before we close off, Don, could you just tell us, just from own interest, not yes. anyone else's necessarily, because they'll know this by the time it goes to air, what's happened with the tennis? Oh, shit. Has Nadal beaten Djokovic in the quarters? Five sets, Don. What's happened?
Nadal has won 7-4.
So he won in...
He won in four. He won the tiebreak 7-4.
Wow. What a game that is, Don.
But all that's right. his home court, and that's where he excels.
That's
he's
correct.
He's the king of clay.
Of Ontakar.
Yeah, Ontakar. Yeah, no, that's true. Ontakar is called clay. Same thing.
Okay. Oh, that's what you said earlier, isn't it?
It is. Ontakar, and it's how appropriate, because it's Ontakar's French, and this is the French Open. Now, Don, we're going to come back. We're going to get ourselves prepared, and I'm going to just speak to you more severely about why you're 50 minutes late, because we're trying to run a show here, Don, and we can't have you get up earlier. So that's it now. Just a minute now. What do I do, Max? I go like this.
You press...
Cause you ain't